Begin tonight. Shall we turn in our Bibles, please, to Psalm 107? Psalm 107. Now, I'm not terribly familiar with the way that the books in the Psalms have been split up, but the Psalm 107 is the first of the fifth book of the Psalms. And as such, it has been compared to the book of Deuteronomy, which is the fifth book of Moses. We'll look at Psalm 107, but I'll maybe just give some introductory comments. And then it's a psalm that largely deals with thankfulness. In the New Testament, there is a familiar verse: in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. However, 2 Timothy 3:1-2 says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and the list goes on. All right, so 2 Timothy 3 would indicate that in the last days people would be unthankful. So in spite of that verse that we read earlier, in everything give thanks, men would be unthankful, and unthankfulness would be a characteristic of the last days. In Canada, we have a holiday called Thanksgiving. Now, I came to Canada not having been familiar with that particular holiday in Europe, and I came as a non-believer and actually an evolutionist. And it is good to have a grateful disposition and to be grateful to your parents and to those around you. But there are many things that we can only give God thanks for. Mm-hmm. And without acknowledging his presence or his existence, thanksgiving can be rather empty and meaningless. Now, if we turn to Psalm 107, before we read it, just some further opening comments. And that is that Psalm 105 and 106 and 107 together sometimes have been called a trilogy. They recount the history of God's dealing with the children of Israel from there as they came out of Egypt through the wilderness journey and into the promised land. Each psalm tells the story from a different perspective. Psalm 105 deals with the faithfulness of God and hardly mentions the failure of his people. Psalm 106 is a sad record of the failures, including the many sins and the murmuring and the complaining and the unbelief that was characteristic of the nation of Israel as it traveled through the wilderness, in spite of God's constant care for them. Psalm 107 is a psalm of thanksgiving for God's wonderful works to the children of men. And following a brief introduction, there are two main parts where the major part pertains to God's goodness in delivering his people from trouble, verses 4 through verse 32. And the remaining part pertains to God's providential government of Israel and the world from verses 33 to verse 43. In the main part of the psalm, verse 4 to 32, there is a pattern of five things. First, trouble is portrayed, whether it is as wanderers in the wilderness or as prisoners in a dungeon, or thirdly, as sick men at the gates of death, or fourthly, as mariners in a storm. Secondly, prayer is resorted to as a cry to God. And then thirdly, divine help is given. Fourth, praise is being called for. And fifthly, there is a reason for the praise or an appeal as a result of what God has done. There's a repetition of several phrases. Let's read Psalm 107 and see if we can pick up some of those repetitions. Verse 1, Psalm 107, verse 1. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the hands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction, in iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contempted the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his work with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commanded and he raises the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depth. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He makes the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he makes the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield the fruits of increase. He blesses them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffers not their cattle to decrease. Again they are minished and brought low, through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He pours contempt upon princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet sets he the poor on high from affliction and makes him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Who is always wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. And I trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word.
Amen.
Now in the way that verse 1 starts out, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good," and it continues, "For his mercy endures forever," it's actually a very fitting sequel to the previous verse from Psalm 106, which says in verse 48, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say amen, praise ye the Lord." So that's actually what it continues, is that it actually continues in that wonderful theme. But it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." And what is the reason? Well, what does verse 1 say? He is good. God is good. And his mercy endures forever. Now, the word mercy is a word that is is often been translated as, well, loving kindness, the kesed. And it endures forever. Why? Because God's because love is not just something that God does, but it's actually what God is. The scripture says God is love. God so loved the world, yes, but it's the fact that he loved the world because God is love. And God is eternal and forever lasts a very long time. It actually never stops because God does not change. Some people think that the God of the Old Testament is different from the God in the New Testament. But actually, the Lord Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, "I change not." His promises are just as sure today as when they were first promised.
Amen.
God doesn't change. And I recently was at the birthday celebration and of a lady that was the mother of one of the ladies in our assembly. And she also has a granddaughter who is there as well. And she graduated from the RN training program and she passed her exam. So she thanked God. We collectively thanked God for both the birthday as well as the graduation of the granddaughter. However, it says, "In everything give thanks." Even if sometimes it's easier to, when we pass the test, that we realize that it's God has been very good to us. But even if she would have failed the exam, God is still good. "In everything give thanks." Because sometimes things don't work according to our plan, but God is still in control and God is able to use even our failures for his glory. And so God is good, and that is his consistent nature. He doesn't change whether things work out or whether they apparently don't work out in our lives. And so God is still good. It's easier to forget God when everything goes well and smoothly. But when we get in trouble, as these sailors were in the last of these four sections, they call out to God. Or when there were other troubles in our lives, it often reminds us that we need God. We need God when things are going well, and we need God when things are not going well. But then verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." And so it's the word redeem, according to Webster, is to pay off or to deliver. And we were in the slavery of sin, but God has paid off our debt for us, having paid the price for our sins with the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died in our place and is now risen and seated at God's right hand. So it's not just enough to have a tendency to be to know that God has redeemed us and to have a grateful attitude, but it actually says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So we actually need to verbalize it and actually need to praise the Lord as we are called to do in the last verse of the previous psalm. Now in Romans chapter 1, it states that all people know something about God through his creation, in terms of his power and his Godhead. But it follows and says that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. And as a result, it became empty in their thinking, and their foolish heart was darkened. The world is full of sadness today, because people have lost their way, having rejected God from their thoughts. And this is in spite of the fact that we were born with a God consciousness. And I say this as a former atheist, at least having claimed to be an atheist. Now verse 3 answers and says this, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. Now, the verse 47 in the previous verse says this, save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise. So the prayer was that God would gather from among the heathen all the people that had been dispersed. And so when it says that he would gather them from the lands of the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, that is an answer to prayer. And I believe that that has a future aspect, but it also had a past aspect, not only during the time after they were exiled to Babylon, but also as Abraham had come from various parts as well. And so we see the fact that really God has gathered his people, and God will gather his people again. Now, in the four groups that are in trouble, first of all, we see those that wandered in the wilderness from verses 4 through 9. And then we see from verse 10 through 16, the prisoners in the dungeon. And then from verse 17 to verse 22, we see sick man at the gates of death. And then from verse 23 to 32, we have mariners in a storm at sea. Now, a pattern of five things occurs in these four paragraphs of verses. First, trouble is portrayed, whether it's as a wanderer in the wilderness, as a prisoner in a dungeon, as a sick man at the gates of death, or as a mariner in a storm. Secondly, prayer is resorted to as a cry to God. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, a repeated phrase. And thirdly, divine help is given, and he saved or delivered them out of their distresses. And the verses were verse 6 and verse 13, verse 19 and verse 28. But there is a fourth, and that says that praise is called for. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. However, the reality is that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. That's what Romans told us. And with God, God's multiple deliverances, Israel in the wilderness wandered and complained. And secondly, after Israel was delivered from their captivity, some mounted a rebellion to turn back to Egypt. So the bonds had been released, and yet they wanted to go back. they weren't grateful to God. Thirdly, divine help is, as we see, the nine of the ten lepers were healed. They did not return to the Lord to give thanks. And mariners, with many who have seen the intervention of God in their lives, are often known for their foul language and immorality. So again, they often have not thanked God for what he has done. But there is a fifth aspect, and that is a reason for thankfulness. It's given in the first two paragraphs. Verse 9 says, "For he satisfies the longing soul," first, "and secondly, he fills the hungry soul with goodness." So God is very, very good to even the wanderers in the wilderness. They were complaining, and they were lacking trust in God, but God in his grace still satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry with goodness. Then in verse 16, in the second paragraph, it says, "Why should men praise the Lord?" Well, this time it says, "For he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder." Now, this is in the paragraph of those that were in the dungeon, that were captive as prisoners. So for them, for the gates to be broken and for the iron to be cut in sunder, that was great, great news for them. God had set them free. Then there is in the third and fourth paragraph, it actually speaks of the appeals that are based on God's goodness. In verse 22, it says, "And let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving." So it says, oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. And as a result, there is the exhortation, oh, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And you and I have been called on to give the sacrifice of praise in Hebrews 13. And then also in verse 32, it says, "Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders." So there are two instances at which we have been called to exalt the Lord in the congregation, not just privately. That's wonderful. Have a private time of worshiping the Lord. But also as we're gathered together, that we collectively might exalt the person of God, that indeed he might be glorified in our midst. And we have a privilege like that as we gather to break bread, and as we do so, that we might exalt the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then also in the congregation, or in the assembly of the elders. Often like that, older men and older women also need to have the encouragement that there's younger men that are coming up, that are taking on the work of continuing the work in the assembly. Now, in verse 4, it used the word wonder. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. And the word wonder really is the word to go astray. It's also the word to stagger, like a drunkard. So this is not a good word. They wandered in the wilderness. They staggered like a drunken man. They wandered aimlessly. They missed their way and persisted in unbelief and mistrust. A journey which might have been completed in a matter of days, if we were to look at Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 2, it actually talks about that the journey between Mount Seir and Kadesh Barnea would have been an 11-day journey. How long did it take them to go through the wilderness, finally into the promised land? Well, it would take 40 years. So this was much, much longer than really it needed to have been. So Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 2 says, there are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. So that is not a terribly long journey, but it took them all that wandering around aimlessly, like a drunkard staggering. So God showed his faithfulness over those 40 years. He provided them the manna 6 days a week, when the sixth day enough for the seventh day as well. He provided them water. He provided them quail. He allowed the clothes not to wear out, their shoes not to wear out. He protected them from their enemies. And so we see that God provided for his people. And yet, in spite of God's faithfulness, they were wandering like a drunkard in the wilderness. And they finally, of course, when they entered into the land, they were given houses that they hadn't built. They were given vineyards that they hadn't planted. And so God was faithful in all of that. In verse 4, it also says, they found no city to dwell in, and as a result, they kept on wandering. Now, this is quite different from Abraham. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, for he, that's Abraham, looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. And then it continues in verse 13. These all died, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from where they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But then verse 16 says, but now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. He has prepared for them a city. So again, the same word, God had prepared for them a city. And so God was very faithful in this, in the perspective that Abraham was. He didn't aimlessly wander around because he hadn't found the city. He looked and he saw it by faith, and he saw it by trusting God. And even though he still hadn't received the promise at the end of his life, as having found that city, he looked for that city, aimed for it. And so that's very different than these that wandered in the wilderness. Now, four times the phrase is repeated or is mentioned. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of all their distresses. Is followed by a repeated phrase, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Now, when God speaks, we need to pay attention. When God speaks twice, we need to pay close attention. For example, when God says, Abraham, Abraham, well, Abraham better listen, because he was about to strike his son with the knife, but God stopped him. But when God speaks four times, as he did in this case, we better pay very close attention. Now, there is a Psalm 136 that speaks of the fact that his mercy endures forever. And his mercy, again, that word loving kindness, that loving kindness of God lasts, endures forever. There's something that God doesn't want us to miss, and that is his mercy or loving kindness endures forever. Don't miss out on understanding the loving kindness of God. God is like a gentleman who doesn't push himself on us, but who gives us the choice to walk in harmony with him. Though some would reject him and tumble into foolishness, trying to explain the universe with blinders on to the God who created the universe and desires us to have fellowship with him, who is always good and never changes. What is involved in praise? Well, it literally means to give thanks, loud praise, to confess the name of God. And Webster actually defines it like this: to commend the worth, to commend the worth. So as we praise God, we acknowledge his worth, his character, his wonderful aspects of his character. And also it says glorify God. How? By telling the great things that God has done. Has done not only as it is recorded in Scripture, but we can also tell what wonderful works God has done in our own lives. God allows us to experience great troubles, whether it is the circumstances of the Israelites wandering through the wilderness, whether it is of being captives in a dungeon, whether we see the prognosis from a doctor, it is cancer, or whether we are in the middle of a storm at sea, or whether we are in financial or a marital collapse. In God's loving kindness, he allows us to experience great troubles to bring us back to himself, so that we will cry to God in our trouble, and so that we may experience his deliverance and be exhorted to praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Now, verse 33 to 42 reveals that the Lord is able to reverse what is naturally prosperous and instead bless that which is barren, based on righteousness or wickedness. And then the last verse, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. So it says, first of all, we need to observe. Whoso is wise will observe. So if we want to be wise, we observe. In other words, we give heed and we pay attention to God. And secondly, it says, we'll observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. So to understand or to discern the loving kindness of the Lord, we can miss so many things. So often I have prayed and received an answer, and I have not discerned that God actually answered my prayer. And as a result, I failed to give thanks to the Lord. But God wants us to be discerning as far as his goodness is concerned, so that we do lift up our voice and give thanks to the Lord. Many people blame God for what we are responsible for ourselves. If you are wise, you will recognize that God is good and that his loving kindness is everlasting. Shall we pray? Father, we want to thank you tonight for your loving kindness to us. And Father, it is absolutely abundant. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the abundance that we see in so many ways. But Father, we thank you, Lord, that you hear us when we pray. The scripture says that if we bring our petitions before you, that you hear us and that you give us the answer to our prayer. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for the fact that you not only hear people who are many miles away, but Father, you care enough for us as your little children to hear us when we pray. And Father, we want to thank you, Lord, that we can pray that your kingdom might come, that your will might be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, we do pray, O Lord, that indeed your name might be greatly exalted. We pray, O Lord, again for these various ones that we would expect to come in during the next week. And Father, we do pray that the Spirit of God might convict and convince. And Father, that there might be much salvation in many of the children. But Father, that mums and dads and aunts and uncles and grandparents too might hear of the truth of the Word of God, might hear of a Savior that loves to seek and to save that which was lost. Father, we give you thanks tonight. as we commit ourselves to you in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.